Your sun shall go no more down, or your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I do hope you all have sight of a white service sheet with today's painting on the front. It's one of my favourites from the National Gallery, and it takes us right to the heart of Christmas. For this is no ordinary birth, no ordinary child. This is the light of the world, the Word made flesh, the fullness of God made visible in a human life. It's such a classic image that it's easy to forget that it was not always so, and to overlook what it has to say to us about this all too familiar miracle. Probably painted in the late 15th century by the Dutch Renaissance master Geertgen tot Sint-Jans, the Nativity at night draws on a number of contemporary themes to create one of the most evocative nativities of all time. A dark winter's night, scarcely pierced by the cold and distant starlight, is lit instead by the divine being of the newborn babe, the Son of Righteousness, bathing the scene with his radiance. The composition, now a Christmas card classic, with the young Virgin reverently kneeling before the crib, an older Joseph standing slightly further back, and the angels worshipping alongside, was rapidly growing in popularity throughout the 15th century. It can be seen in Hugo van der Goes' 1475 masterwork, the Portinari altarpiece, and probably owes much to the habit of constructing Christmas cribs and nativity scenes, recently popularized by St. Francis of Assisi. But it's another saint, the 14th century mystic, St. Bridget of Sweden, who's the chief inspiration. For in one of her many mystical visions, she saw the Nativity itself as a luminous miracle. She wrote, "While the Virgin was standing in prayer, I saw the child in her womb move, and suddenly, in a moment, she gave birth to her son, from whom radiated such an ineffable light and splendor that the sun was not comparable to it. Nor did the candle that St. Joseph had put there give any light at all. I saw the glorious infant lying on the ground, naked and shining. His body was pure from any kind of soil and impurity. Then I heard also the singing of the angels, which was of miraculous sweetness and great beauty. When, therefore, the Virgin felt that she had already borne her child, she immediately worshipped him, her head bent down and her hands clasped, with great honour and reverence. And she said to him, 'Be welcome, my God, my Lord, and my Son.'" Swiftly translated into Latin and spread across Europe, St. Bridget's vision became a rich source for artists like Giovanni di Paolo, who start to represent this divine light symbolically, surrounding the infant Jesus with a mandorla, the almond-shaped oval of gold that we can see on our chancel roof, surrounding Christ in majesty. What's so special about the Nativity at night? is the shift from a symbolic radiance to a naturalistic one. The three light sources in the painting, the Christ child, the angel proclaiming the good news to the terrified shepherds, and the shepherd's hillside fire, are all treated in the same manner, but with differing degrees of intensity. We are left in no doubt that the light of the Christ child is greater than that of any angel, and far superior to anything we might encounter in our daily lives. Through new artistic techniques of light and shadow, theological truth finds its expression not in suggestive symbolism, but a mythic realism. And the light does more than point to the transcendence of Jesus. It draws the viewer into the scene and asks of us a response. As our gaze moves around the picture, we see the three tiers of creation: the animal, the human, the angelic, all focused on the radiant child. And yet it's not an equal response. The characters in the scene seem to reflect the Christ light in accordance with their ability to worship him. Arise, shine, for your light has come, prophesied Isaiah. And that is what we see in the face of Mary, one who shines out through humble worship of the radiant Christ child in his crib. She's physically no closer than the ox and ass, and yet she reflects her son's light in a way that they simply cannot. Mary here is not a signpost or pointer to Christ, but rather a pattern for Christian humility and reverence, a model of worshipful response. And if we look at other aspects of the picture, we see the angelous angels, who have a childlike quality, not that of classical cherubs, but rather an innocent joyfulness, perhaps intended to recall the words of the adult Jesus: whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. I particularly love the middle angel, clapping his hands with an excitement familiar to all of us who have small children or little brothers and sisters. And let us not forget the doe-eyed ox and ass in the middle of the scene. These are often mistakenly thought to be Franciscan additions, as crib scenes relocated the nativity from Middle Eastern caves to European stables. However, some of the earliest representations of the nativity on 4th century sarcophagi don't include Mary or Joseph at all. Rather, it is the ox and ass alone who quietly regard the infant in the crib. For the early church put just as much weight on the testimony of Isaiah, who said, "The ox knows its owner, and the ass its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not understand." They put as much stress on that as on St. Luke's account. Here, the animals too join in worship, albeit at a lesser level. And they challenge us to be more like them than the unseeing Israel, the blind Pharisees of our gospel. Yet it's not enough to simply worship. In the background, we see an angel zooming across the sky like a shooting star, carrying out the light of Christ to the terrified shepherds, fleeing with their arms raised in panic. The response that begins in worship grows into a movement out towards the darkness of the world to share the light that has been experienced. This magical miniature shows us the light of the world in all his glory. The Son of God who says, "Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And the artist asks us, will we respond? Will we reverently worship like Mary in his light this Advent? And so become in turn lights to the cold, dark world around us.